Curtis Strange is joining us now. Curtis, how are you?
I'm good, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Let's start right there. Let's start with Augusta National. Can you remember at any point in the last 15 or 20 years anticipation like this leading into the year's first major?
You know, I'm gonna hold you off just for a second. I want to say about your comment about the long delay in Houston. What else is new down there? Every year in my career, we went to Houston. We had rain delays, and in fact, one year we never hit a shot. So that's part of the game, and it's a hard part of the game as well for the players. But anyway,
it never seemed to bother you in Houston, though. You dominated that place.
I was fortunate there, but it's still those rain delays, and you never know when you're going to go back, and the stopping and starting, it affects everyone. I don't care what you say, and it affects everyone. Sometimes you come out of it, you know, feeling pretty good. Sometimes you come out of it lethargic, and you never know what your body's going to do. But anyway, Masters next week. I think that we have a plenty of storylines next week. I think the landscape of golf has changed since Bay Hill, and we're talking about a lot of people, but we're also talking about one guy who's dominated the game after Bay Hill last week.
Well, let's talk about Tiger. I mean, we have had an awful lot of pundits and even some of the young players say that the aura's gone, that he's just not the same player, and they're not scared. What do you think?
You know, it's kind of brash when you're young, aren't you? and I'm serious. I'm dead serious. I've said for all along, and I said it today, we had a long conference call with the Masters, is that if he wins another event, that intimidation factor is back.
Right.
And I don't care what you say. He has, with his disappearance of the last 2.5 years, he has given them a stage. Because he hasn't played well, he's given them a stage to perform and show their talents. But I don't care what you say, and I'm not over exaggerating this. If he comes back and wins another event, they will know that this guy, you know, he's pretty damn good, and they don't have the baggage that some of the other players have. But the intimidation factor will be there because he presents an aura around him. He hits shots better than anybody else, and he will intimidate. He is intimidating.
Well, let's talk about, obviously, the dream matchup next week, as people have been putting it, is he and McIlroy Sunday going head-to-head. How much do you think that McIlroy has to prove after last year?
How about he, McIlroy, and Mickelson? How cool would that be? Gosh, you know. And you know the thing about John at the Masters, and you know this as well as I do, a lot of times that happens.
Right.
Because the Masters, it gets everybody's, the top players' juices going, and the top players always seem to play well there most of the years. But anyway, what does McIlroy have to do? Well, first of all, we talked today about what happened to him last year is over with. He's been there once or twice the last 3 weeks. He hasn't played 3 weeks. That's gone the first time he plays and walks around the golf course. When he gets to the Masters week, come Monday or Tuesday, last year is just a distant memory. We're professionals. We have to have short memories because we all screw up.
Right.
You know, even if you screw up a tournament, you screw up a round, you screw up a 10th place finish, you know, whatever. You have short memories. But I still think that Rory McIlroy is, he's just brash enough, and he's just good enough to play with Tiger. He is as good as I have seen other than Tiger in a long, long time. His free swinging, his swing is absolutely ideal. I like the way he goes about playing the game. But I still think if he and Tiger go head-to-head and they're both playing well, he loses.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know that all of the listeners will agree with you, but I'm not sure that any of them can argue with you. Did you ever have...
Wait a minute, hang on a second. They might not agree with me, but I've been out there.
Right.
And I played the game, and I have seen both of these guys up close. Rory McIlroy is an incredible talent, but he has been given the stage because Tiger Woods hasn't been around.
Yeah.
He's an incredible talent, incredible young talent. He's going to be around for the next 20 years, and he's as ascendant to number one in the world. He's not right now. He will be back number one in the world, possibly. But we've never seen anybody dominate like Tiger did. And if he plays reasonably well, you know, then it's hard for anybody else to beat him.
Did you ever have in your career any disappointment that could equate to what he went through last year on the back nine? Talked about Rory, the snap puck tee shot at 10, and then basically an utter collapse. Could you? I mean, I guess we could all empathize, but was there a moment you look back on and said, yep, I can relate to that?
Yeah, in 1985, I had a four-shot lead with nine holes to go.
Right.
Thanks for bringing it up, John.
Sorry.
I was having a nice evening. You know, that's what happens. And you've played the game long enough, you're going to have those things happen. And it's because we're human. We're not robotic.
Right.
And especially at major championships, John, everything is amped up tenfold. And, you know, that's why young players don't do well at the Masters, or historically have not done really well at the Masters. One is that it's such a local knowledge type golf course. Two is that the pressure on the weekend is phenomenal.
Right.
And it comes from everywhere. Media, press, fans, yourself, your family there. It comes everywhere. You know the history of the place. And I think if a young player has to do well there, or can do well, or has to be very lucky.
When you look back at the back nine, 1988, at the Country Club, what did you have that week that had been missing prior to that in your career when you won your first U.S. Open?
Confidence.
Really?
That's all. Believe in myself. I was the same player I was 2 years before as I was 2 years after. When I went to, in 85, when I blew the lead at the Masters, it's the first time I'd been in contention to win a major championship. It was beyond anything I had ever experienced in my life. The pressure, the anxiety, the nervousness. And once you're there two or three or four times, you become accustomed to that because that's all part of the game. And when I played well in 88 at the Open, I played well all year. I'd already won two tournaments. I was building a pyramid to be in that position. I was very comfortable in that position at that point. But that's the point being is I was 29 or 30 years old, and these guys 22 or 23 have to learn that as they get older and go through the experiences of winning or losing majors.
Yeah, I mean, the scar tissue can be debilitating. I mean, we could tell stories about players who had a chance to win a major championship, didn't pull it through, and were either never heard from again or were never the same player again. And it's amazing.
Scar tissue is all part of the game.
Right.
We all have it. Those who have, and I'm not speaking for myself, but, you know, Rory McIlroy, let's use him as an example. From going from the Masters to debacle to winning the U.S. Open last year showed character, guts, and determination. And those who have that will come back from that. Scar tissue for those, as you were mentioning, that didn't have that, you never heard from again. It takes a lot of inner strength.
Talk to me about talent. I want just broadly, because there are some players that are just simply born better than others. Do you believe that a player like Corey Pavin or some of the other guys who didn't look like they had the physical talent but were able to win important tournaments, do those guys resonate more with you? And is there any room for guys like that left in the game now?
Absolutely. Those guys resonate with me. What I just said, guts, talent, character, determination. Corey Pavin had that in abundance. Talent, maybe not. But sometimes that can be overridden by your determination to succeed. It's the same in all walks of life. When you get talent and determination and character all in the same body, then you have a Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Luke Donald, that type of player. But talent is not as same as people think on tour. When you look at a guy on the practice tee, we all look good. They all look good because you're in a routine, hitting ball after ball. Talent comes into me as a how to play the golf course. Do you have the guts to hit the shot and the talent to pull it off, the tough shot, especially under pressure? When you get on the golf course and you start dissecting players like that, there's a huge range of talent on tour, a huge range. And those players and caddies know who those who can do it and those who can't do it on tour.
Was there anybody out there that intimidated you when you were at your best?
Well, Jack Nicklaus did, but he was on his way out. But Jack Nicklaus was intimidating to me. I played with Jack Nicklaus in my first Masters round in 1975. My goal that morning, honestly, John, was to get the ball on the tee.
Not off the tee, on the tee.
Frightened is the proper word. After that, no. I mean, it was, you know, you become part of the landscape of the game. You become part of the competition. And, you know, if you're intimidated, you're never going to do well.
What's your week like next week? Obviously, we're talking to Curtis Strange. You guys are on Wednesday for quite a while for the par three contest. What's your week like?
Oh, it's not as busy as the British Open for us, but it's a busy week because it's such an important week, and it's a big week for me, for any of us to go back, to have some history there, to go back and be able to see the people that we've known for so many years and be a part of the event is enjoyable for me. I wasn't around for a long time. This is only my third year at ESPN for doing the Masters, so I didn't go back for many years. But to be a part of the Masters tournament now, we do the par three Wednesday afternoon. We have Sports Center shots both Tuesday and Wednesday morning. And then to start the event, I do the event, but Mike Tirico and I we're not on camera a lot. We're in Butler Cabin just kind of resetting the telecast every hour or so. And then the weekend I do 3D with Tirico and Azinger. But anyway, it's a busy week. It's an important week for ESPN. We all hope we do a good job, but it is such a big week for us as analysts on TV because we know the world is watching because, you know, arguably every year this is the most watched golf event in TV. And so you have a huge audience and you just want to do the job you think you can do.
Well, I think that it's a great team. Tirico is the consummate professional, and I can't wait to hear you and Azinger going at it a little bit.
Well, you won't hear us unless you see 3D back and, you know, back and forth. You know, I got to tell you, Butler Cabin with Mike and I on Thursday is uncomfortable to me as I'm out of my element. And I do it. I hope I do decent. I just do decent, I think. And I'm trying to improve on that. But calling golf is something, a different animal than what I do on Thursday and Friday of Augusta. But, you know, you just have such pressure on yourself because, you, like any of us, we're competitors. And we want to do the best we can be. We want to do the best we can. And to come out of Thursday and Friday at Butler Cabin and not feel like you did a good job, then it's disheartening. But hey, you come back the next day, and that's kind of why we're here. And we just hope we do the Masters tournament justice.
I think that I love the coverage. I love the way that it's broken up. I love the fact that you get so many different voices involved. To me, Thursday and Friday really sets up for, you know, the old story that the Masters doesn't begin until the back nine on Sunday. Boy, it just seems like it starts earlier and earlier now because the excitement.
And you know the best thing about that, John, over the years, they do show the whole tournament now. And for your viewers, listeners out there right now, and it's something I want to stress this week. We see so many shots next week because so many people do watch. You have to be patient because the Masters tournament and the golf course, Augusta National, makes you look silly sometimes. When you shortside yourself, when you don't hit a good chip, when you three putt from no distance, the greens are the toughest in the world. But when you accumulate what the package of what somebody has done over 4 days, they become either the winner or the loser. There's a lot of stupid mistakes made during the week of the winner, and we can see that now. But we have to be patient as analysts, as radio guys, as fans and viewers, and just watch it all evolve. That's, to me, the beauty of it, because after 4 days, it does evolve, and most of the time at Augusta National, the cream does rise to the top.
We had a caller a little while ago ask if there was a particular ball flight that works better at Augusta, a high fade or a high draw. Obviously, high has to be part of the equation. Is there a particular ball flight that seems to be preferred by the players that week?
You know, John, there's no substitution, as you know, as high and long and strong. it wasn't it was back in my day, and it's still now. But Augusta is I still, they always talked about wide fairways. Now, the fairways aren't as wide now, but still accuracy in the fairway sets up every hole. Now, if you're long in the fairway, you're coming in with shorter irons, higher, softer irons, more spin. That obviously is premium. But I still think Augusta National is a long hitter's golf course. Now, Luke Donald could play well there and win. Zach Johnson played well there and win. I almost won there. Medium length hitters. But you have to be so precise that week. You have to get it up and down. Remember, Canadian winner.
You've stumped me. Canadian winner.
The both of us. Left-hander.
You got me.
Anyway, that guy won, but he laid up on every hole. In one on par fives, you have to play the par fives well there. And if you can't get to all of them in two, not being a long hitter, you have to be so precise the entire week and take advantage of every opportunity. When you're a long hitter, not only are you coming in par fives with shorter irons, but you can get to all the par fives. It's such an advantage at Augusta National, more so than any other tournament.
I would think that going for some of those greens, like 13 and 15, though, would have to be as nerve-wracking as any shots you're going to hit all year.
They are when you come in with woods like I was. If you're coming in with medium irons like these guys are now, I'd love to do that. because, you know, whatever the TV shows, and we try to do the best job, and HD has done a better job, and we'll do 3D on the weekend, which shows even better. But 13, not so much, but 15, the green is so shallow. And the water's right in front, and then it drops off so severely behind. There's just no margin for error. And when you're sitting out back there on the second shot as a player, you feel that pressure. This shot has to be perfect. And sometimes that restricts you, that the anxiety builds up, and you just don't hit the shot you should hit. It's all part of Augusta National, and it's all part of the battles within your mind every day that you have to win down there.
The phone lines have been lighting up from Toronto, by the way. It was Mike Weir, of course, that won the...
Mike Weir, yeah, dear friend, sorry.
Yeah, he beat Len Matisse in the playoff. I believe.
Gotcha.
I believe,
nice call there.
I believe on the 10th.
Hey, I can't remember everybody, okay?
No,
but anyway,
no.
The point is, he played superbly by laying up on par fives. And you can do that, but you have to be better than everybody else to win there that week because you're giving up such an advantage off the tee and with your second shots.
Before I let you go, Curtis, I have to ask, are we going to see you tee it up at all this year?
Oh, I've played every Champions Tour event so far this year. And,
right.
Thanks for keeping up with me there, John.
I have been. You've been playing okay. How cold was it out there in Newport Beach a couple weeks ago?
I froze my ass off, okay? You know what? We old guys, and I'm serious, all those that are listening, you know, when you get into your 50s, when it's 50 degrees and blowing 25 knots and kind of spitting rain, you don't go outside. We had to go outside, and it's no fun. The joints ache. Everything aches. So it was tough, but it was a good week out there. But I played, and I'll play another couple, and then pick up the TV in the summer and play a couple in the fall, and then go hunting. So everything's good.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Does Freddie have a chance next week, or is it too late to push the sun back up in the sky?
No, I don't think he has a chance, and I don't mean to be so blunt, but you know, it's. Driving, which he still does well, is ironing, which he still does well, but the short game is important there. And he still plays well on the Champions Tour, but it's a different animal right now. And Augusta National is so long with the new length of, what, three or four of the holes 10 years ago or 8 years ago. And, you know, he could hang around. He could hang around, but to win, I think, is asking a tremendous amount of everything. I just don't think he has right now.
Yeah, and that's why 4 days makes why it's the perfect amount of time for a golf tournament, because in 4 days you're going to have the bad day, you're going to have a complete test of your game, and I think it just makes perfect sense. I think that there's also a lot of people that would love to see him in contention, in the same way that, you know, Tom Watson was in contention at the British Open a couple of times in the last several years. I think it makes us feel good to know that the old guys can still compete with the young guys.
Well, it was a different animal, though. Tom Watson, the British Open on a shorter golf course. Fred Couples at Augusta National, now a long golf course, tricky, fast, incredible greens. Yeah, he could hang around, but to win, I think, is asking a bit too much. You have to remember, Freddie Couples is playing somewhat of a limited schedule both on both tours. He probably plays 15 events total. You got Luke Donalds, and you got Rory McIlroys, and you got Charles Schwartzels, and you have all the rest playing 25, 6, 7, 8 events worldwide. Their life now is playing golf. And as you know, the more you're into the game, the sharper you will be. You can't leave this game for more than a few days and be sharp. And Freddie's not there. He's just not playing, and he shouldn't at his age. But these guys are the best in the world. The guys, the favorites next week, and then those who aren't the favorites. By the way, I like Kyle Stanley, although he's a rookie. I think he's an incredible talent. Dustin Johnson, we haven't talked any about. But these guys are playing every single week, and they're young. They're thinking, eating, breathing, sleeping golf. And that's what you have to do, and that's what you have to do in major championships especially.
There are a list. You just mentioned a couple of them. You've mentioned Luke Donald. A list of incredible players who do not have that major championship. How important is it to win that first one?
Oh, I think if you're going to win some, the first one is the toughest. I do that. Because when you win the first one, you kind of prove to yourself that, hey, I belong here. I can do this. Dustin Johnson is a different case because he's had a chance to win three majors,
right,
and he hasn't. So be it. But I think by being there three times, he has an advantage over, you know, the Keegan Bradleys, although he's won a major. Kyle Stanley's and some of those who haven't been there. There's another name, Keegan Bradley, who I think can contend this week because he is such a good player.
It's amazing. So young and so good. I mean, a multiple winner last year on the PGA Tour in his rookie season. That's just mind-boggling. And, of course, the reigning rookie of the year on the PGA Tour. Curtis, I really do appreciate all the time and all the great insights.
Well, John, I appreciate it. I'll give you a quick story. Last year when Keegan Bradley and was in the playoff at the PGA, my brother calls me, which he always does watching Sunday afternoon, and he says, novel idea. I said, what's that? He says, they're both driving in the fairway every hole. Now that's why they're in the playoff. And you know what? He was actually pretty funny and so accurate because we've seen players win by driving to the rough because the long game has taken over this game. But there's no substitution for being long and in the fairway. And anybody that can do that has got a hell of a chance to win. And Keegan Bradley did that last year in the PGA. If he can do it this week, I kind of like his chances.
You think he can figure those greens out?
Well, that's the big question. And probably not. They're incredibly difficult. I mean, the first year there is mind-boggling. The first year there of the aura and the tradition and just looking around is mind-boggling. Just getting comfortable at the place, I think, takes a year or two. So can he win there? Yes, he can win there. Do you expect him to win there? Probably not, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Will you be on the tee Thursday morning when Jack, Arnie, and Gary hit the ceremonial first shots?
You know, I'd love to, but I won't be because we'll be preparing for
right,
going on camera at that point. But I got to tell you this. I loved when Arnie did it. I loved when Jack did it. And I love especially Gary has joined them because you and I grew up with the big three.
Right.
And I love that they're both doing it. I love Gary is getting his due. And I know one thing, Gary wants to play all 18 and still go.
You know he does. It's going to be hard for him to hit that first shot and then walk away.
Oh, it will be, but I think it's fantastic. It's a tremendous, tremendous honor to do that and ceremony that the Masters does every year.
Well, you could play in the par three contest. Obviously, you have to work, but as a major champion, you can go tee it up in the par three contest if you like.
Yeah, for your listeners, anybody who's won a major championship is allowed to play practice rounds and play the par three. I choose not to for many different reasons.
I would think the purse is better in the booth than it is in the par three contest.
I actually could do that. You know, we talked about it last year, playing early. Andy North and I both playing early and then going to the booth. But, there's so much preparation with the TV, not only for that day, but for the rest of the week. And you know, I think it's better served that I do that justice and not playing the par three. But plus, I really don't want to. But other than that.
Curtis, it's such a pleasure. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you, John. Call again.
Enjoy next week.
Thank you. Good talking to you.